Hello, and you are listening to Girls, a special edition of Girls Meet World on CKUT 90.3. I am one of your hosts, Carla, and I have the pleasure of being joined here by my wonderful friend, Andrea.
Hi, my name's Andrea. I'm here to be a host with Carla for her lovely show.
And as long as I have known Andrea, she has wanted to be on this show. I think it has been 6 months since every month you're like, when is your show? When is your show? So that you can come. But there's always been something. But now you are here.
I am here in the flesh.
In the flesh. And you are here in a very special edition of Girls Meet World, because not only is it Monday, but it is CKUT's funding drive. Every year for 2 weeks, we have a special funding drive where we incite you to please donate to keep this station alive, to keep the spirit of community radio alive in Montreal. We do a lot of great work here, and we would really like you to show your appreciation for us by donating. You can do it either by calling at 514-907-9424. I cannot read numbers today. Or easier way, you can go on the website, ckut.ca. There is a big green button called donate. There's a big green button that says donate, and you can donate to a specific show such as Girls Meet World. Or if you're a broke person like me, you can donate $10 a month, and then you have access to wonderful merch, which is absolutely beautiful. So you should absolutely donate. Again, you can call at 514-907-9424, or you can go on ckut.ca/donate.
Woo, donate!
Okay, so usually on Girls Meet World, we have other people, but they unfortunately are busy because midterms are a thing. And Andrea, I was talking to you before last month because I was planning this episode, and I sent you an article that I don't think you have read, but you have the general gist of it because it was in French,
yeah.
Where I sent you an article that basically talked about these two lawyers that were on a murder case in Quebec, And long story short, their like TikTok presence made a lot of buzz of people being like, is this professional or not? And since we are a show about, you know, coming of age in the internet, one thing that you see more and more is people doing a day in the life at my job.
I mean, like, sorry. I mean, like, I don't understand, or I don't think like one's professional life should kind of take over so much your personal life that I can't have like a little TikTok where I do like day in my life as a whatever professional person I am. I mean, obviously, as long as you're not sharing company secrets, like, cool. But like, you should be able to like do a little dance to a TikTok trend and still be able to be barred. So I don't know.
Yeah, because the specific instance, I believe it was two lawyers, they were in a hallway and they say, POV, you walk up to, you go to trial and we're your lawyers. And I think it was like, I think it was a Taylor Swift song that was playing in the background. It was like a song that's like, I'm a bad bee. Like basically that was like the gist of the song. And I think a few years ago there was an instance where there was a journal where they were talking about like professional ethics, and they looked at these like female doctors that had like bikini pictures on their Instagram to be like, this is not professional. And people were like, whoa, that's a double standard. But at the same time, I will bring an instance that I have just thought about. Remember the Dr. Roxy?
Yes.
So just to jog the memory of people who are not on TikTok and maybe don't know, Dr. Roxy is a plastic surgeon, I believe was a plastic surgeon in the state of Pennsylvania. She used to live stream her surgeries. She used to do like all the fun little TikTok dances. And then a bunch of her patients sued her because basically she would botch surgeries.
Yeah, but like I also think live streaming your surgeries is a bit too much. Like, I'm not surprised she's having botched surgeries where she's trying to, like, figure out the right angle for her live stream and, like, cut open vessels. Like, it feels like an invitation for disaster. You can do your work at a separate time and then play at a separate time, too. Doing both of them, though, like, at the exact same time is a little bit...
I also feel like there's a way you can, like, film your surgeries for, like, educational purposes with, like, the patient's consent. And, like, have it be good. Whereas she was, like, answering questions on a live stream where she's, like, doing, you didn't know about the answering questions?
Yeah, so, like, obviously her surgeries got botched because she's trying to concentrate on, like, three different things at once. I mean, like, that, I feel like, isn't that a bit of, like, of a stretch of an example to coordinate? I think, but you know, if we're talking actually about like professionalism and what can you or can you not do, I feel like there's this huge trend. There's this huge trend of plastic surgeons being on TikTok, like Dr. Miami and co. And like the way they kind of talk about their profession and women. And I just think it's very weird to see them so like trying to be relatable. As they're, like, plastic surgeons.
I found the ones really weird where they, like name the out, like, patients that they have. Where they'll be like, oof. I'm the doctor that did so-and-so's nose job. I'm the doctor who did whoever's, like, I don't know, facelift. And it's like, aren't you, like, breaking patient confidentiality by doing that? Like, I get that you're trying to get customers by being like, hey, I did so-and-so, so you should come see me. But, like, I don't know. Like, something feels very invasive. Also, the way that surgeries, like, cosmetic surgery is just, like, peddled as this, like, simple thing of, like, get preventative Botox before you're 25. Where it's, like, a 25-year-old does not need Botox.
You're 25 and you're getting fillers in your eyebrows because you don't want to get wrinkles. Like, what are you talking about? But I think, like, obviously, like, some of the celebrities that they're quote-unquote outing for plastic surgery, like, no offense, but like we've seen the visual shift. I don't particularly like need a plastic surgeon to tell me that like they've gotten some work done. I think what's kind of scary about it is the way that they make themselves so relatable when what they're doing is like inherently not something that most women should be relating to. Like the urge to want to have plastic surgery is one thing, but if you make it so accessible, I don't know.
This also goes into, like, people have a radical fear of aging.
Everybody wants to be a girl forever. I'm 70 with bows in my hair. Coquette in the Elderly Institute.
not to shout out a previous episode we did, but we did an episode a few months ago on like children in Sephora buying Drunk Elephant when like your skin is not made to sustain Drunk Elephant. Or like, mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw the 13-year-old who was like, my skincare routine to prevent wrinkles. And it's like, you don't even have like thoughts of wrinkles right now.
Like, there's nothing in your life that would give you even one crevice on your forehead. Like, what is the most stressful thing at 13 that would give me wrinkles?
A boy in my class doesn't like me back.
Oh, God forbid. We'll encounter that several times. We shouldn't start getting wrinkles for that. I just also feel like it's also a thing of, like, lack of parental supervision. Because, like, it's one thing for your kid to have a bunch of Drunk Elephant products, which is already, like, very much... Like, why don't you just go to Jean Coutu and get, like, a good...
the Neutrogena, like,
Neutrogena,
cleanser.
Like, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
But, like, to
the
have...
The same time scrubs that, like, you didn't know would, like, mess up your face and then everyone got it.
Literally ruins your skin barrier. But I think, like, it's also just really odd to then have them on TikTok doing Get Ready With Me's and you're, like, 12 and 13. I don't know. Let me not.
I mean, a lot of people are just trying to get their kids to be influencers so they could live the...
The deep lore I have about kitty influencers.
Please get into it. It's a show about the internet.
So I don't know if you know about like
Ren Eleanor.
Yes.
Can you please explain for the people who are listening who do not know who this is?
So essentially Ren Eleanor is like a little girl on TikTok. I'm not really sure her age.
She's like three or four.
No.
Yeah. She's like three or four.
Three or four. She a little grown. I was thinking maybe five.
No, she's like three. She's like three or four.
Okay, so my sense of babies aging is completely wrong. But okay, apparently she's three or four. And her mom is responsible for her TikTok account. And essentially, it's just posting videos of her daughter. Like, you know, she's at the carnival and she's eating a hot dog. Or these are her outfits for Halloween. And like, they're seemingly innocuous things. But there's been a lot of controversy to the point that the mom essentially had to make a video saying like, I'm seeing all these horrible rumors going on that you guys think that I'm essentially...
Yeah.
Pimping out my daughter.
But she is,
but
because
I'm not.
She...
And she deactivated her comments and everything. And it's just a whole discussion about where we place children online and the kind of exposures that you put little kids online to and what does that really do to them. And we were just kind of talking, I guess, about like the kiddies in Sephora and stuff like that and just having kids online. It's a slippery slope. And yeah, her mom is definitely contributing to it. And it's really sketch.
Especially having kids online as young as people do. Because, like, you could see legitimately, like, a baby from, like...
Fresh out the womb.
Before they're even born of, like, their parents creating, like, a... Remember when... I think it's still a thing where people would create, like, Instagram accounts for their kids that weren't born yet so that they would, like, have a following before they were born. Where it'd be like, oh, we decided to name our child, I don't know, like, Jack... Stewart or whatever, and then they'd make like a Jack Stewart Instagram account.
Is it this folk?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought. I just not everybody has to be a celebrity. Like, I know it's quick bag, it's easy bag, but like there's so many horror stories of being a young celebrity that like, would you want your kid to be a young celebrity?
Absolutely not. I am nowhere near having kids. I've already decided I'm not giving my child a phone until they're at least 16.
16 is a bit egregious. What about health and safety?
I did not have a phone until I was 16. I did not have like a working like phone plan on my phone until I was like 16.
Okay, fair.
Before that, I had a phone. You can call 911. And okay, that was about it.
Okay, yeah, okay. At least you can do that. Fair. Let me not yuck your yum. I get what you're talking about.
You can
about.
Get them like a flip phone.
Okay, but flip phones are cool. So, like, I don't think they'd get bullied if they came into school with, like, the oldest Nokia bedazzled. Like,
yeah, but what can you do on a flip phone? Call. That's the only thing you can do on it.
Hey,
that's
hey,
the
hey,
point.
Hey, hey, no, I'm sure they got games on flip phones.
Like what, Snake?
Okay, Snake is real. Snake is real. Snake defined video games for a whole generation of adults. Don't muck around with Snake, okay? But isn't there like a celebrity that tapped into that? I think it's Kendrick Lamar that he has a phone
that he made where it's essentially just your bare basics. Like, you can't even access, like...
the internet with it?
No. Maybe you can't. I just think there's something very funny about celebrities wanting to deplug from the internet completely, yeah, that you make a whole phone line about only having the bare necessities. But
did you watch the documentary The Social Dilemma?
No.
It came out during COVID, so a lot of people were talking about it, being like, this is revolutionary, the attention economy, where the ideas of, like, companies that you try to, like, monopolize your time.
Oh.
Because the more time you spend on the app, the more money you're spending, which, a bit of a caveat. But if you're spending a lot of time listening to CKUT, you should donate to
us. Exactly.
Instead of giving your money to Facebook or giving your money to Instagram, who, by the way, have blocked us, you should give your money to CKUT because we are a wonderful community radio station doing so much work in Montreal to connect communities from Haitian community, Korean community. Everyone has a show here, and a bunch of people have gotten their start on CKUT. It's an amazing station, and you should donate. And you can do that by calling at 514-907-9424. I will get this number down by the end of the show.
I doubt.
Or you can go on ckut.ca/donate.
Yeah, support local.
Support local.
That was actually a really good segue. I have to give it to you. Smooth. Smooth.
My goal this show is going to be trying to find all the segues possible and to tell people to donate.
Okay, you know, you're one down. Excellent. What were we talking about?
We were talking about the attention economy, where people are trying to monopolize your time to get you to, like, sell you more ads.
Just to finish the thought.
Yeah. There was a specialist on it. He's not a specialist. His name is Tristan Harris. For a while back in 2021, I was telling people that Tristan Harris was the love of my life. Because long story short, he used to work at Facebook as an executive. And then he, like, was like, hey... these apps are monopolizing your time. So what you should do if you have a phone is that you should make it that the first page is like the bare bones essentials, and get rid of all your social media.
I do that.
Do you?
Hey, peek. Look at it.
So for people who cannot see, because again, this is radio, this is not a visual forum. On Andrea's first page, you have the calendar app, you have mail, Outlook, the weather app, the app store, an app I cannot read called Toadie.
Yeah, that's just like, this is just like a, it's like a tidiness tracker, and it just tells me, like, hey, it's been a while since you've done this.
Tim Hortons, music, phone.
Support Tim's.
Support CKUT.
And CKUT.
Sudoku and other things. But yeah, no, him, it was even more streamlined. It was like, you should have like only like four apps, the four apps you use egregious. The most. Yeah.
Could you do that? Only have your four main apps on your own homepage?
Okay, I'm going to be very self-aware right now. Yeah. My screen time is absolutely egregious. Like, truly, I have a problem. And I went to Cuba August. And if you don't know, the internet in Cuba is blocked. Like, you don't have access to, like, anything. Mm-hmm. And if you're in a hotel, they do give you access, but you have, like, 8 hours of access of, like, the internet. So you can only be on the internet for, like, 8 hours your entire stay.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so I could only be on the internet for, like, 8 hours in the week. My screen time went down to 3 hours a day.
3 hours a day still, like, considering that you only had, like, 8 hours a week, you were really...
So, for context, it is now 4:18 p.m., and my screen time is 4 hours and 11 minutes.
Did you say it's 4:18 p.m.?
It's 5:18 p.m., and my screen time is 4 hours, 11 minutes, but last week, my average screen time was 10 hours, 41 minutes.
Okay, let me see how bad I get. I feel like I'm a reasonable person. It should not be that bad.
No, one time I, like, fell asleep and my phone was open, so it, like, jacked up my screen time to, like, 15 hours in a day.
Actually, let me not even say anything, because...
Okay, is it worse than 10 hours, 41 minutes?
No, today I'm at 3 hours and 16 minutes.
Okay.
And a week, let's see, on a weekly, it's 5 hours and 48 minutes average.
How?
Because I don't respond to people.
I have TikTok, so, like, usually was gobbles up the most time possible. And I do have the thing that's, like, meant to warn me, like, you have an hour left, and then it, like, blocks the app.
Oh.
But I always find a way to bypass it.
Yeah, so, like, you know, it's a matter of discipline. Don't rely on an app, because you're just going to bypass it. Discipline yourself.
I know.
Or just ghost people like I do.
I have no self-discipline. Anyways, we are going to go to a... ad break and then a musical break. So Yeah, first, this is For Props by Eve Jarvis, and we will be back to you after this short little break.
CKUT's annual funding drive is back and taking place from March 15th to 24th, 2024. We have exciting new merch available for our donors, including t-shirts, tote bags, mugs, magnets, and posters. Thanks to the generosity of this year's sponsors, you'll get a chance to win goodies from your favorite local businesses, festivals, and more, with every donation $35 or above. This year's sponsors include Pop Montreal, Cinema Public, Constellation Records, Mutech, Festival du Nouveau Cinéma, Encore Books and Vinyl, RIDM, CNL Cycle, Adam Hart, Just Seeds, Lola Rosa, Putting Edge, Drawn and Quarterly, Death of Vinyl, La Rama, La Seltzer, Dispensaire Microbrasserie, Luglion, Pizza Bouquet, and Paragraph Bookstore. CKUT would like to thank our sponsors for supporting another year of people-powered community radio. For more details on prizes and to donate, go to ckut.ca/donate.
are back. You are listening to a special Monday edition of Girls Meet World, but not only is it a special Monday edition, it's a funding drive edition. We are trying to raise money here at CKUT because we do a lot of great work and we just need money to operate. So you can donate either by calling at 514-907-9424. We have volunteers on the phone who will be happy to speak to you. Or even easier, you can go on the website, ckut.ca. There is a green donate button. You can donate by month. You can do a one-time donation. There are prizes to be won if you hit a certain tier. Not only that, you can donate to a specific show. So you can donate to Girls Meet World. That would be amazing. And yeah, you should keep your favorite radio station on the air. And by the way, I forgot to say this. Before this, I was at work and my coworkers were, I told my coworkers I'm going to go do radio afterwards. And they're like, we're going to listen. So to my coworkers, if they're listening, shout out to you. You guys are great. I should have done it top of the show, but I forgot. So I'm doing it now to see who is actually listening all the way through. I am joined with my wonderful friend, Andrea.
Hi, hi.
And Andrea, before we cut, this is a caveat to our next topic.
Yes.
You and I love movies.
Yes.
We have a movie club, sort of, with our other friend Sophia, where we just watch movies together, and we follow each other on the wonderful app Letterboxd. And on Letterboxd, you have this feature where you get to share your four favorite films, and they appear on your profile. Do you want to share your four favorite films?
I don't think I have four favorite films. I think, what do I have here? And I, you know what's even crazy? I'm pretty sure that what I have on my letterbox, one of it is not even a film. It's Some Normal People by Sally Rooney. Obviously.
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, go first.
This is subject to change, but currently my four favorite films are All the President's Men, Before Sunset, Black Girl, and The Lobster.
The Lobster is crazy, but also real. Okay, I'm just going to highlight my one favorite at the moment, because I don't have four for you. I have one for you, so we're going to have to take that.
Which is?
Okay, so it's this Japanese movie called Helter Skelter, directed by Mika Ninagawa, and I'm also writing my paper on it.
Did you not have oh my God, In the Mood for Love? Was that not in your top four?
It was. I don't know why it's not appearing. Yeah, I love that movie down. The subtleties of that movie, everybody needs to watch it. I feel like it's a movie that everybody either has watched or wants to watch, or, you know, just like one of those cult classics, but like definitely give it a little watch, you know?
But yeah, speaking of top fours, what Letterboxd do is that usually when they're at like these like big press events or at these award shows, they will ask celebrities, what are your four favorite films? Mm-hmm. And a comment I see all the time that annoys the living hell out of me is when they'll say something like, I don't know, my favorite movie is La Haine, or give me another movie that's like labeled as pretentious, like, I don't know, like it's usually Barry Lyndon, yeah, or 2001 A Space Odyssey, a movie that is not like Cars 2. You will always have someone, again, this is not to bash on Cars 2, it's a great movie, but I don't know where the expectation is that people who have devoted their entire life to like film and being actors, their tastes are going to be different than yours. And that goes into like, there's a big anti-intellectualism of like people being like, why can't people like dumb stuff? And it's like, it's not that we don't like dumb stuff, but like, I don't know, if you ask me if I would stuck to see Mean Girls or Barry Lyndon for the rest of my life, I'm watching Barry Lyndon personally.
I mean, like, obviously, this is very apt because Carla and all my other friends kind of know my New Year's resolution is to become as pretentious as possible. I think there's great power and great, like, you know, wealth of information and being pretentious. And so I am definitely a fan of, like, watching more intellectually challenging or, like, more, you know, cult classics of very specific audiences, movies and stuff. And I think, like, people should, like, it doesn't have to be your most favorite thing. It's not something you have to watch every single day and dedicate, like, your whole life to it. But once or twice, like, watching a movie or reading a book or just, like, experiencing something that challenges you intellectually is very important. Because I like dumb stuff, okay? Like,
yeah, me too. I adore dumb stuff.
Like, a book with 90% smut and 10% plot, like, that's not horrible. But I'm not going to recommend that as, like, pièce de résistance, like the best thing ever. I think you should be able to engage with dumb stuff knowing that they're not the best thing ever, and also being able to like highlight limitations of it. I'm not gonna say like it's the best thing since sliced bread. It's not.
When I'm in a reading rut, I reread this one book constantly.
What's the book?
It's called what is it called? It's called, oh my God, I need to look up because I have not read this book in a while because I have not been in a reading rut in a while. Wow, that was a weird way of saying it. It's called You Can Have Manhattan.
Oh, that sounds like the kind of thing you
would like. It is a Kindle book. It's the type of book that you buy on like Kindle Unlimited. I think it's good. It has a plot. It has smut, but it has a plot. But I'm not going to act as if it's like the best book to ever come out. Like, I'm not going to be like, yeah, I would rather read that book. Again, it's like...
You know what? Goodreads is giving it a 3.9 out of 5. Okay.
It's a good book.
So like it can be hot dookie water. Actually, let me not say that because
it's a good book.
Goodreads would recommend you Colleen Hoover. It's a 4 out of 5 stars. So let me not
Speaking of that, I have reading has become an aesthetic now and I don't know how I feel about it.
It's due to overconsumption.
Yeah. Cause I see so many people doing like these like massive book hauls and I'm like, yeah, you're buying 40 books, but how many of those books are you actually reading? And I know people are like, well, it's books. So like the money's not being wasted, but it's like, yeah, it is.
But I think it's also because they're two completely different hobbies at this point. Book collecting and book reading are not the same hobby. We'd like to believe that they are, but I just genuinely think for a lot of people it's not. I also think, like, you can have a lot of books on your physical TBR to be read. And, like, if you're an avid reader, it's kind of convenient. I can just go on my shelf and I pull out a book that I've never read before rather than going to the library or going to the bookstore. But I also think, like, it is getting really excessive. And it's also because it's watering down the kind of books that people are reading. Everything's a trope. Everything's enemies to lover, hockey...
Romances.
Oh, God forbid. Or, like, dark romance that's bordering on some form of assault. Like, it's just very tropified books. And it's just, like, you're buying to say I have this on my shelf and not necessarily because you read it and enjoyed it. You know what people need to do? Return books if you don't like them. I'm seeing so many people that are like, I hated this book, but I forced myself to finish. Return it.
And you know what I also really don't like? The way that, like, everything is driven by an algorithm now, and that forces you into the same sort of, like... Because I was thinking about it recently, because I'm on Spotify, and I was, like...
Apple Music is better.
Yeah, because I don't listen to my Discover Weekly anymore. I have they have this thing called Daylist where it, like, auto-generates a new playlist for you, like, every few hours. And I was listening to it, and I was like, I'm listening to the same 15 songs over and over again. And again, I love Ray. I love Jeffrey. They're great artists. That being said, I want to listen. There are more than 15 songs in the world. And because it's so algorithm-driven, it's, like, pushing you into this niche of, like, familiarity and not, like, forcing you to engage with, like, different genres or different artists or, like...
I mean, but I also think that that's where YouTube...
And I think it's the same
algorithm
thing...
Algorithm is actually kind of crazy.
And because... I think it's the same thing with TikTok, though.
Obviously.
Where it's like, oh, you like Colleen Hoover, then you're gonna like ACOTAR, then you're gonna like, I don't know, like Icebreaker, you're gonna like the same like six books that people have been reading since 2020, and you're never really pushing yourself into like venturing into genres that are maybe more like intellectually challenging, because people like straightforwardness and like brevity and nuance are like the worst of enemies.
What do I think about that? I mean, like, yes. But I also think some of these things are just, like, also a natural progression of somebody's, like, book journey. Like, if you've been reading since you were a wee little lad, and it probably screwed your vision, that's why you have minus 3.5 glasses.
You have minus 3.5?
See, I wasn't talking about myself specifically, but, like...
If it makes you feel any better, I have minus 4 in one eye and minus 3 point... No, minus 4 in one eye, minus 5 in the other.
Oh, so like, you're on the UN's... on the UN threshold, but yeah. I'm like, if you haven't been reading when you were younger, and like, obviously you kind of like the girls who have been reading for a while, they've kind of burned through some of these new age TikTok phases and trends, because you were on Wattpad or AO3, or you were reading some stuff you had no business reading, and you've already like gotten all of this out of your system. Yeah. But I feel like a lot of the face, a very specific kind of face you see on Book Talk, is the girlies that haven't picked up a book in about a decade. And they're getting into it. And sometimes nice and quick and easy is great, you know?
But you know what it also reminds me of? The curtains are blue. Maybe they're just blue.
Okay, but also sometimes the curtains are just really
sometimes blue. The curtains are just blue, but sometimes, no, there's actually like a deeper level of analysis required.
I think, you know what I realized? I don't even know whether it's a question of the curtains are blue or the curtains are blue, but it means something more than that. I think it's the willingness to ask the question if the curtains means more than that. That's actually more important. Because sometimes the curtains are blue. And sometimes you're going to, speaking as a poli-sci major, sometimes you're going to pull some analysis you have no business pulling whatsoever, and it doesn't make sense. But I think being curious to ask and better understand something is when you find out whether the curtain's blue or not. I just feel like people are not always willing to ask, well, what if the curtain isn't just blue, you know?
And to speak to something, I have... When you're broke, you are very aware of when you're, like, spending money that you have no business being, like, spending. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I really, really don't like, again, like you said, if you don't like a book, return it. I don't like the idea of, like, ordering a book, reading it, and then being like, this is garbage. I wasted my money on it.
You return it.
See, but sometimes my reading doesn't go into the 30-day return policy.
Get your money up, like, improve your skill.
That's why I buy a book on, I'll buy a book on digital, and then if I really like it, then I'll buy a physical copy.
That is actually very wise. Or support local, like supporting the CKUT with a donation, obviously. Obviously.
That was an amazing segue. Obviously.
Thank you. But, like, support local in the sense of, like, go to your local library. And, like, we're McGill students. Well, if you're a listener and you're a McGill student, we have access to a lot of books. We have Libby.
You have access to the McGill service. If you're like me and you're graduating, you have access to McGill services 6 months after you graduate.
Exactly.
So use your Criterion. You have Criterion. You have Canopy. You have all these wonderful services that can open your eyes. Also, if you want to borrow a book at the library, the McGill one or the city one, because there's like the local one, then there's like the big library, the National Archives one, you can request them to order books for you.
Yeah.
I have done it many times where it's like, I want to read a book. They don't have it. I'll send them, like, they have like a suggestion box where you can like send them like a, hey, it'd be cool if you guys can buy this book. Mm-hmm. And if they buy it, they will send it to you first because you suggested them to buy it.
Exactly. So, like, definitely, you know, take advantage of the resources that you have and, like, try your best to, like, go to the library, use these online services and read some of these books before you buy them because books are expensive.
Especially in Canada.
Indigo got you out here paying $35 for a hardback. Please, with the tax. Let's read first and then decide if we, you know, want to buy it or try and read as much as you can. And then if you're within the 30 days policy and this is not the best book you've ever read, like, return it. No harm, no foul.
Yeah.
No harm, no foul.
No harm.
And also because I feel like you can get 40% into a book and know whether you need to DNF, which is do not finish.
Yeah.
Or not.
Also, there's a lot of books that are in the public domain. You can, like, just, like,
especially the classics. We're talking about getting pretentious.
Yeah, the classics are in the public domain. You can just, like, download a PDF file.
Yeah.
Okay, Andrea knows this. I'm a theater kid. I'm trying to, like, break out of my theaterness.
No, it's in her bones.
But I love reading Shakespeare. Shakespeare is available widely. You don't even have to pay for it. So,
yeah, you know, if that's your bag, obviously, by all means. And like a lot of these like older books, a lot of these, like, if you're like a poli-sci student, I'm a gender studies student, if you're a student that like you interact with a lot of theory, a lot of those like foundational theory books are also really easy to find, like
The Prince.
Yeah, you just The Prince, you just get like a little PDF of it and, like, you know, start reading some stuff.
You can tell that we had to do poly theory because the way you looked at me when I said The Prince.
Let me not put my poli-sci trauma on these people. but yeah, just read more. I want everybody's New Year's resolution. I know
to be more pretentious.
Yeah, I know we're like mid-March, but like, you know, especially women, okay? We and women of color. And
which
let's all be pretentious, please.
You know what? I am going to speak to a thing of like the romance genre, especially people of like you sort of like, I don't know if the mean would be the word. But they look down upon women who read romance. It's like, it's like not a worthwhile endeavor because romance tends to be a very like malign genre. So some, like, a part of me feels bad being like, some of the romance book you read are trash. But that being said, a lot of some fantasy books are trash. I read Fort Wayne. It was the worst book I've ever read ever.
I have a friend that swears down by this. I have to back up from this convo before she looks for me.
I read ACOTAR, a court of awful book.
Okay.
It is an awful book.
I'm not speaking in defense of ACOTAR because ACOTAR objectively is not a fantastic book. But I think there are certain books that like you read at a specific time in your life and it works, and other books that when you get older you realize this is hot garbage. And ACOTAR is very much one of those, in the sense of like I read that when I was like grade 8, grade 9, and I thought it was the bee's knees. Obviously now the books are still on my shelves. But would I ever recommend them? No.
I reread Catcher in the Rye recently because I hated it when I was in high school.
Do you like it now?
It's grown on me.
Yeah.
I see the value in it. It's not my favorite book ever, but I'm like, you know what? It's actually quite good. I think I was just too young
to appreciate it.
The same thing with like, I read The Count of Monte Cristo when I was in like secondary three and secondary four, and I was like, I was way too young to like pick up on the nuances of what was happening.
Yeah,
which there's something to say about like trying to make kids read like classics really, really young, because I remember someone being like, oh, everyone in Spain when you're young you really hate Don Quixote because you have to read it when you're young. But like, she's like, I reread it recently, it's actually really good.
Yeah, you know, because sometimes it has like different effects for some. For some kids, it's like, okay, well, I hate it and I'm never going to pick it up again. And they will go all the way to their grave and never have touched that book because of the lingering trauma. And other people are going to give it another try and realize, okay, you know what? I was just young and I wasn't a fan, but now I kind of like it. I think it's all about exposure, right? Exposing. Yeah. I think that's kind of what school is essentially just designed to do, if done well. Questionable. It's just like to expose you to a lot of stuff that on your own as like a 12-year-old, 13-year-old, you would rather choke than be exposed to. Like math, no offense.
Talking about exposing yourself to a bunch of different stuff, things that you could be exposed to is all the wonderful content that there is on CKUT.
But shh.
I'm telling you, I'm going to find all the segues possible in the 15 minutes we have left. You should donate to CKUT because we have wonderful programming that reflects the wonderfully diverse population and the communities in Montreal. We have a goal of reaching $50,000 this year, and we know that we're able to do it because I know that you guys will be able to donate. You could do it by calling at 514-907-9424, or you could do it by donating to CKUT/donate. There is a green button on the CKUT page that takes you and you can donate. You do it by month, you can do a lump sum payment. There are tiers, there are prizes that you can win for donating. It's also diverse. And, you know, this is the only time where we really solicit people for money. You know, it is. We really go ham on, you know, these 2 weeks. It ends on the 24th. So please, if you can, please donate. Again, CKUT.ca/donate.
Yay.
So we're going to take a little break, and I'm going to play Chamber of Reflection by Mac DeMarco.
Thank you.
and that was Chamber of Reflection by Mark DeMarco. Fun fact, I have like 4 different iterations of the song on my playlist. I just really, really love that song. It's an amazing song. Song of the year, if you ask me. You are listening.
When did this come out for you to say this is Song of the Year?
Years ago.
Okay, and it's still Song of the Year?
It's one of the 15 songs I listen to on repeat. You are listening to 90.3 CKUT. My name is Carla. You're listening to a special Monday edition of Girls Meet World, but it's also a funding drive edition. Whoop, whoop. We are raising money all these next week and last. Up until the 24th, we are raising money for CKUT to keep your wonderful community radio local station alive. I should not have said those words in that order. You can donate by either calling at 514-907-9424. I got that down. Or you can donate at ckut.ca/donate. We have some donations that were made, so shout out to all the people who donated. Andrea Jane Cornell.
Thank you.
Thank you. Louise Burns, who is the former station manager here at CKUT. Thank you, Louise. She also hosts Radio Red Eviction, which is on Fridays, 5, either the first or the last of the month. I forgot which one. You should listen to her show because it is amazing. And last but not least, Claudia Leduc.
Thank you.
Thank you to all the people to donating to CKUT. And you can donate up until the 24th, but you can donate year round. You can't donate more than just during the funding drive. We accept money whenever. Edgia's face is like, please don't say that. We accept donations year round.
Yeah.
But we go on a, speed drive during the funding drive.
Yes.
Andrea, you had something you wanted to talk about.
I think I was going to talk about the physical media. And both the loss and the apparent like resurgence of physical media.
You collect vinyls, right?
I collect vinyl. I also collect CDs. I tried collecting cassette, but then I messed up the one cassette player. One cassette I got, and then I realized that's a little bit too old school for my taste. But yeah, I just find that it's a little bit interesting seeing younger people getting really into this idea of collecting CDs, collecting records, like just the importance of physical media and the realization that digital media is, it's not lasting. Netflix will take everything you like down. So yeah, I just thought it'd be like a nice conversation or something for people to consider getting into.
Not only that, but when you also have studios like Warner Brothers that are just like deleting fully completed movies.
Yeah. And especially like, animation
and the cast and crew, they don't even get to watch it, like the completed project, before it gets like deleted off of the face of the earth. And like the best way, but then Blu-ray is so expensive. And I was talking to Sophia,
and yes,
I was talking to Sophia about this because I went to the library. I went to the Stanley Kubrick. They have like a Stanley Kubrick section, mm-hmm. And I got a book of Barry Lyndon. I've been mentioning Barry Lyndon a lot recently because I just recently watched Barry Lyndon on Criterion. But it comes with like a DVD. Mm-hmm. It's like a book. It's like, the behind the scenes and how this movie got made. And it's actually a really fascinating story. But there's like a little DVD at the end. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to watch the DVD. I have a DVD player at home. It's not hooked up to our current television because the current television is too new for the really old DVD player. So I was like, oh, okay, I'll just use the portable one because I have like a little portable one. The screen, no joke, is like 3 inches by 3 inches. Like it's a really small screen. It's like a really old DVD player. It's like, okay, I'm not going to watch like a movie on that. So it's like really, really hard to have access to like even like mediums to watch your physical media.
I think that's the unfortunate part, is that when a lot of these things become obsolete, there's not a lot of work that goes into maintaining them and maintaining, the tools that you use to enjoy them. But I also think like that's another reason why, like, I can't, not to sound tinfoil conspiratorial, if that's how you say that word, about like digital media, but it's also the same thing, like, you'll have a phone or you have a computer that's a little bit too old to run X latest software, and suddenly like you're locked out of, you know, something that you've been enjoying for a long time. So I think ownership is really the issue here.
Yeah, also because tech companies will find any way to make a buck, so they make sure that your physical, whatever you're using it on, is not going to last forever, because a dryer from the 60s is still working. And my parents, we got a washer dryer from Samsung like a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm. It's broken?
Already. It's broken. Damn. And I'm like, damn it. And I'm thinking, because I have a Mac. You know this.
Oh,
I have a Mac that I've had since 2019. It's like my first big Apple purchase because I needed a new computer. Mm-hmm. It's been 5 years and it's like, okay, I have to change it now because the screen is broken and the power's like not working correctly. It like decharges after like 2 hours. And I went to the store. They were like, yeah, you have to buy a new one. But it's like, I don't want to buy a new one because my old computer, I had it for 10 years and it was working perfectly fine.
I think there's something to be said about the fact that every single person I know that has a MacBook is currently in the stage of having to get a new one. And when I say like having to get a new one, I think it's like from 5 years after owning your Mac, you have to get a new one because it's just shutting down on you. So like I've been in a saga with my computer. I got mine right before I started CJEP, so 2018. And I took it to the store and I was like, what's going on with my computer? Never poured anything on it, never dropped it. And they were like, no, you know, sometimes the hard drive just gives out, bro.
Yeah.
Sometimes it just out of commission early. And I'm like, what do you mean out of commission early? It's been coming on 6 years. Why are you tapping out? And I think there's something to be said about the not cheapness, because it's really expensive, but I don't want to sound like our parents, but things are not lasting.
Yeah.
So you should take care of what you have to the best of your abilities.
Yes, you should. So before we leave, our wonderful viewers, you should totally donate to, once again, we have our funding drive. It's 2 weeks out of the year. Ooh. You should donate to us, ckut.ca/donate, or you can call at 514-907-9424. I did it without looking at the paper.
Improvement.
I'm proud of myself. But yeah, you should do it because we are a local community station. We really are at the service of the community. As I have learned recently, McGill doesn't support, they do, but like not that much. But we really, like PBS, we run on the contributions of listeners like you. So please donate if you can. And yeah, so we usually end the show with a recommendation of something we like to read, something we like to watch, something we like to listen to, a recipe, whatever. So Andrea, as our wonderful guest, what is your recommendation?
If you're looking to cry, and I mean the kind of cry that makes you reach for a bottle of Tylenol because you have a headache, watch One Day on Netflix. Hopeless Romantics, you will be left hopeless.
Is it better?
And crying.
Is it better than the movie?
I honestly think it's better than the movie because I think the inclusion of a woman of color as the actress really makes their dynamic especially more interesting. And it's too good. I'm a fan. Watch it.
Okay. My recommendation is the book because I have not yet watched the TV show. Mm-hmm. I've been reading Pachinko. You would know this. I've been reading it since the beginning of the year. I'm almost done. I'm very close to being done, but it's an amazing book. I know it's big. It's like 500 pages, but if you read it on your commute, honestly, very manageable.
Mm-hmm.
It's a heartbreaking story.
It is.
It is like, you were like, oh, you're going to cry. And I'm like, no, I'm not. And I cried a bit.
Yeah, you see?
I cried a little bit, a lot. I definitely recommend it. I'm going to watch the Apple series, so I don't know. I'll tell you next month if the TV show is worth watching.
True.
But yeah, Pachinko, One Day, great mediums that you should get into. Once again, please donate to CKUT. We're a local radio station. We really are here to serve the community, and we do it thanks to your contribution of listeners like you. So you can call at 514-907-9424. I'm speaking very quickly now that I realize it. Or you can donate to ckut.ca/donate. To close us out, we are listening to
Getting Rich and Going Broke.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Bye.
See you next time.
My aunt needs a new roof. My mama wants a house. My papa wants a blue truck. It's all he talks about. So I'll keep sister needs a new dress. My cousin wants party shoes. My grandma needs a new couch, so I'll pick her out to choose. So I'll keep making records till my heart turns blue. 'Cause my sister needs a new dress, and my cousin wants party shoes. Getting rich means going broke. Way back home to my family. My uncle can't stop stealing. The sheriff wants a raise. My grandpa needs a new stone to sit upon his grave. So I'll keep making records to pay these damn bills. 'Cause my mama needs a new house. My grandma needs a new couch. My
Welcome to a new segment of What's Up With Work Lately. I'm Emil. I'm joined with my colleagues Charlie and Mariam. How are y'all doing?
Hello.
Hi. Doing good as always.
How are you, Emil?
I'm doing very well, thank you. I'm pretty excited about this episode. We got a representative from Héros de Chez Nous. Gonna talk to us about their project as well as their